On this installment of DevOps for Mobile Developers, Abel joins me to talk about continuous integration with Azure DevOps for iOS and Android, so tune in. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of DevOps for Mobile Developers. I'm James Montemagno, and my best friend in the entire world, Abel, is with me.
And still, your best friend.
Always my best friend, Abel.
Nice. That's nice.
So in the last episode, we showed off taking a brand new app, publishing it to GitHub, and publishing a build from App Center. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to do something different.
Yeah.
We're going to use your favorite tool.
Azure DevOps.
That's correct. What is Azure DevOps?
Like we all say, it is everything you need for a software project, right? So you can create CI/CD pipelines, you can track your work, it even has repos in it, et cetera, et cetera. But you don't have to use all the parts inside of Azure DevOps. You can use the individual parts.
Oh, right? Cool. So even though my source code round we published to GitHub, mm-hmm. that's okay.
That's totally fine. If we want to do a build, you know what? We can just directly link Azure pipelines to your GitHub repo,
okay.
So it just works seamlessly.
Perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
So I figured today maybe what would be fun is before we set up a quick and dirty kind of smoke test in App Center. We're really going to use App Center for the distribution and testing part, mm-hmm. but I figured we would use the other stuff inside of this, which is the pipelines.
Cool.
So what is a pipeline?
A pipeline, you can think about it, it's like a build and release pipeline.
Okay.
Right. So the idea is we want to have a pipeline that's seamless so that when you check in your code, it'll immediately kick off a build.
Got it.
It will do whatever you need for your build, whatever that means for the technology that you're using,
yep.
right? And when it's done, it needs to pick up whatever bits it needs to and deploy it into whatever environments it needs to.
Okay.
Dev, QA, UAT, and I guess in the mobile case, it'd be like your alpha testers, beta testers, and eventually all the way out even into the store.
Oh, perfect, I like that.
Yep.
So pipelines, I guess like in my mind, I always thought it was just building, but you're saying it's the build and the deployment part.
Yeah, it can be both.
Okay, cool. All right, well, we're going to get started. Now, I have not done anything yet.
Okay.
I have created my Azure DevOps project,
mm-hmm.
and I have a bunch of other projects in here, but okay. I don't have this project.
Okay.
So when I create a project, can you actually tell me what it's doing?
Sure. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to create a project, right? So a project's going to encapsulate everything that you do for a particular project.
Okay.
So then you can have all of your builds, you can have all of your repos, all of your test plans, and things like that as well.
And that could be for not just my mobile apps, it's a project for like the sum of everything I'm deploying.
Absolutely. Because okay. a lot of times, even mobile apps, they're far more than just the mobile app itself. You got your back-end code, whether it's functions, maybe you have APIs that run on a Kubernetes cluster
yeah.
or something like that, right? You can have databases, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot more to a mobile app than just the mobile portion. And then using Azure DevOps, you create a project, you can encapsulate all that stuff in one place.
Okay, and I can do public or private here?
Correct,
that's
correct.
Cool. I'm gonna do public, why not? What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Now,
everybody can see what's going on.
What are these advanced settings? There's version control and work item process.
All right, so when you create a project, you automatically get a repo with it as well.
Oh, nice.
Right? So you don't have to use, if you wanna use GitHub, that's perfectly fine, then you can just ignore that setting. But inside of Azure DevOps, there are two types of source control systems. There's a centralized version control system and a distributed.
Okay.
So the distributed, of course, is Git.
Yep.
And then the centralized version control system, I think we called it Team Foundation Version Control or something like that.
TFVC.
There we go. Team Foundation Perfect. Version Control.
Yeah.
So it's just what type you want. And then the process, that's, remember, you're able to track any unit of work in your project as well.
Got it.
So you're able to select the type of software development process you want to use.
Love
you
it.
Want to use an Agile process, a Scrum process, a CMMI process, or even they have a basic process now, which I'm a big fan of.
So I should do basic?
Let's do basic.
All right, I've never done it before. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
All right.
It's streamlined, quick, dirty, to the point. I like it.
I like it. All right, so we're going to create it. This is going to scaffold all the things that you just told me.
Yep.
And I can use as much or as little? Do I have to use everything?
No, you don't. In
okay.
fact, we can actually go in there and turn on and off services that you want or don't want.
Okay. So this looks kind of cool. I like this. We have a summary, board. These are all the things that you just said.
Yep. The boards, the repos, pipelines, test plans, and artifacts.
Okay. So I'm imagining I have project settings,
mm-hmm.
and then here, public, over here, there's my things.
Yep. And you can start turning on and off the services that you want to use.
Okay, got it. Now, what was the basic? When I turned that from basic to agile, what did that do? Like, where would I see that inside of my project?
The basic is talking about the process template.
Right? Okay.
So then if you look in your boards, because boards is where you track all of your work.
So my bugs, my features, like, you know, all that stuff.
So let's go ahead and jump to, for instance, click on one of the boards.
Okay.
And from here, let's go ahead and click on a new item.
Oh.
So you'll notice that the type of items that you can create is, instead of like all the user stories and epics and all of that, it really simplifies the process, right? So you have a task, and it's either to do, doing, or done.
Oh, I love it.
So they just really simplified the whole process.
Oh, that's great.
So instead of needing to learn like all the Agile terms or the Scrum terms, you can immediately just get started.
Yeah, I like that. This really reminds me of how I like to build out boards. It's almost like a to-do list, right? Like, here's my to-do list. Yep. I'm actively doing it. I'm done. And there's probably lots of other crazy things you could do right inside.
Sure. Of course, you can customize this board to make it look however you want. You can add whatever columns you want. You can add styling rules, et cetera, et cetera. You really can customize this however you want.
Got it. But
the nice thing is the base process template is really simple and easy to use.
Perfect. Love it. So our app already lives inside of GitHub today. We have a few branches that we set up previously, Hello DevOps and Master. Mm-hmm. But you're saying that I could go into repos and create repos inside of here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's branches, pushes, everything.
It's just a Git repo.
Right? Very cool.
So I love GitHub for all the social programming type of stuff that you can do. Mm-hmm. And so inside of Azure repos, it doesn't quite have all of those really cool new social type of features, right? So it just kind of depends on where you want to store your code. But ultimately, it's just a Git repo.
Cool. And I like that my favorite feature of this, because I've used Azure DevOps for some private projects that I didn't want to be public or social, is that you can have multiple repositories under a project.
Yes, I love that too.
Because GitHub is like everything is a repository,
yep.
But you don't have like a project.
Yeah, you can't kind of group them together.
Yeah, this is cool to me. And you can import. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Just give it to me. We're not going to do it, but we could.
Yeah.
All right. So pipelines.
Yep.
I click on pipelines. What's happening? What are all these things? Builds, releases, libraries? Talk to me.
So a pipeline, remember, is your CI/CD pipelines, your build and release pipelines. So underneath your build tab, that's going to be all of your build definitions.
Mm.
Right? So you can create a build definition that compiles just your iOS. Or you can even make it super complex, right? You can have one build that builds everything for you.
Oh, cool.
So your iOS portion, your Android portion, your backend functions, whatever else you need, right?
Maybe
you can even track your database schema and build those as well.
Oh, cool. Right?
So you can have one build that does absolutely everything. That's the build portion.
Nice.
The release portion is your release pipeline.
Got it.
So then there you can define, okay, with a build, I have all of these bits. Now, how do I deploy it out to all of my different environments?
Got it.
And it can be as simple or as complex as you need it to be.
Got it. So we'll do the releases later. Let's focus on builds.
Sure.
I'm going to do a new pipeline.
Okay.
Now, I'm a classic editor type of developer.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Can you tell me why there's YAML everywhere in my life all of a sudden?
All right. So there's a big trend in the industry right now for YAML-based pipelines.
Got it.
Right. YAML is just another markup language, right? It's just a markup language. But what's really cool about this is if you can define your pipelines inside of YAML or in a YAML file, that file can now be stored in your source control right alongside your source code.
Oh, that's cool.
So now everything gets versioned together.
Got it.
Right. So think if somebody forks your repo, not only do they have all of your source code, but they have your pipeline. They have your build definition as well.
They could take it. They could build something like that. That's nice.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that.
Powerful and nice, but I understand. I'm kind of a fan of the classic editor as well.
Now, classic editor is cool to me, but you can also export that to YAML.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can.
So we're going to start with classic editor. And here's why I like classic editor, because it helps me. It walks me through what am I doing.
Yep.
So here, I got lots of options.
Mm-hmm.
We know that my code lives in GitHub.
Cool.
Now we're going to do, I like this because you have Bitbucket, other Azure repos.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to authenticate. So here I'm logged in with GitHub.
Nice. So you're
good.
Done. Yep.
Done. I'm going to search for a repo, right?
Yep.
Say hello, DevOps, select.
Perfect.
And then I guess I have all my branches, right? It's smart enough to kind of know that there's branches in here.
Mm-hmm.
Master's good for me.
Cool.
So this is what I really, really like. I could start with YAML, but I love that the team has a bunch of predefined
templates.
Templates, yeah. I'm a big templates person. A lot of people are command line people. I'm a visual person, not going to lie. And I like that there's a Xamarin one in here.
Nice.
Yeah, because this is our app right here. It's a Hello Getting Started iOS and Android Xamarin application. But notice, though, that inside of here, there is all sorts of things for like Azure Functions, ASP.NET Core, Xcode builds, Android builds.
Yeah, literally, you can build anything you wanted and do whatever you want. It's a fully customized build system.
Yeah, so inside of here, I might get started with Android, per se, but then we can add more.
Sure.
So I created this, I don't know what's happening.
All right, so the build system inside of Azure Pipelines is basically a task-based engine, right?
Okay.
It does one task after another, after another, after another.
So what I'm seeing here is like this agent and then tasks.
Yep. So an agent, that's going to be the machine that's going to build your application, right? That's going to do all of this group of tasks. So literally, if you look through this list, it's saying, first, let's restore our packages from NuGet. Then let's go ahead and build the Xamarin project. And then let's go ahead and use, there's some signing that happens. And they have some tasks that are disabled as well. And I'm guessing those are like to test and also distribute and things like that.
Yeah, so what's cool is that we have those App Center projects set up. And here what we're actually seeing is, you're right, these are sort of optional things. Because hey, you may not be using App Center to test and distribute, but they give you the option here, which is nice. So we want to set up something super simple, testing for this. And I'm noticing here we have these agent pools.
Yep.
That's a lot of agent pools.
Yeah. So it's really nice, too, because you don't even need to have build machines, right? If you use Azure Pipelines, Microsoft, we supply you with agents on all three platforms.
Oh, cool.
Right? So Windows, of course, Linux, and also Mac.
Very cool.
Which becomes super important for you, right? For the mobile world, if you're building an iOS app.
It's got to be on a Mac.
Yep.
And Android can be built on a Mac, so we're going to say here, let's set up everything on a Mac, and we'll say, hello, DevOps CI. So we're going to build not just Android, I'm also going to build an iOS app, too.
Nice, nice. All in one build?
All in one build.
Fancy.
And in fact, I'm going to do it in multiple, what would you call this chunk here?
It's like an agent phase.
Agent phase.
Yeah.
So here, I actually can tap on that agent phase, and we'll say agent Android, for instance, right? So now this is my Android phase.
Yep.
And what's cool is what I like here is that there's different, like I can say do parallel, do multiple agents, do timeouts, like for the Android part, do this stuff.
Yep.
And inside of here, what I like, I did practice this earlier, so. Now, I know on Android, on Mac, I'm going to have to do something a little bit different.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to say I really want to enable NuGet.
Okay.
I'm going to restore my NuGets, but I'm going to restore my NuGets on my Android project. And I love this.
Yeah.
Like, I pointed it to GitHub. It's like, this code is not in Azure DevOps. It's over on GitHub, but it shows me everything.
Yeah. Seamless integration is what we're going for.
I love it. So I'm going to say, hey, we're going to say restore NuGets. And instead of using the NuGet command, which tries to look at the solution level, what we're going to actually do is just do that on my
project level.
On my project level.
Got
it'll
it.
Be faster
nice.
In general.
Yep.
And then here, I don't like magical regexes.
Okay.
I know that I have one Android project that I want to build.
Yes.
So I'm going to just point it at
it. Just drill right to it and select it.
Done. Right. Nice. And that's it. And for this instance, we don't even need to sign anything. We'll leave this enabled.
Okay.
For Android, there's this cool thing which has to be done, which you have to zip a line and sign your package.
Yeah.
You have to do it if you want to install it on a device. But we're just going to do a smoke test, so we're going to leave it at that.
Okay.
The other thing that I want to do here is I love variables. There's private variables, public variables, groups, there's all these things.
Yep.
I'm going to set the default release here to debug, just for funsies, okay?
Cool.
And we're going to change that in the future, but for now, just to get started, we're good. So I also want to add another agent phase. Okay, so we're going to add that there, and we're going to call this agent iOS phase.
Nice.
Okay?
Yep.
So we're going to do a few things here. So what I love is, even though I added a new phase, I have all these things. Look at all these things.
Yeah, out of the box, there's like hundreds of tasks that do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah, and I even have my own Azure DevOps extension mm-hmm. in the marketplace
nice.
That does version bumping for mobile apps.
Oh, perfect. Nice.
We'll do a whole episode on that, and I'll walk through why that's so important.
Yeah.
So let's do NuGet again. And we're going to kind of copy and paste almost what we have up here on Android. Mm-hmm. So on Android, or so on this use NuGet, mm-hmm. we're just going to tell it, hey, we want, you know, 441, just so it kind of matches.
Yep.
Here, I'm going to do NuGet again. And here I'm going to go ahead and say, you know, NuGet restore. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it on the solution because iOS
is on the solution level. That's right.
Different. It's weird.
Yep.
And then here I'm going to type in iOS and we're going to put in Xamarin iOS.
Nice.
And you're actually seeing all of my special James Montemagno extensions in here.
Very cool. I'm going to have to check them out later.
So here, yeah, this is going to do configuration, but it kind of has a card coded in there. I don't like that.
Okay.
If I look at the Android build, I'm going to use that variable.
Okay.
Just so if we change it in the future, we're going to build it for both.
Nice.
Now, we have the option here of generating an app package or building for simulator. Mm-hmm. We're smoke testing, build it for simulator,
perfect.
Good to go. But these are both going to be built on the Mac because they're going to inherit from this pipeline.
Okay.
And that's it. I literally just set up a whole pipeline.
So it's a pipeline that builds your Android and also your iOS in one build.
Exactly. But in multiple phases, so they're going to happen at the same time.
Yep.
So let's just see if this works.
Okay.
Crossing fingers, I'm saying schedule something, and I have a build.
What could go wrong?
Now, this is cool because, remember, we set up two phases. So there literally is two things that are going to happen.
Right.
And you mentioned that there's agents. So mm-hmm. there's just like all these agents just like floating around in the cloud somewhere?
There are, right? And whenever somebody needs it, we spin one up for you and bam, it just for you. Code gets downloaded on it and you can actually see exactly what's happening.
What's happening here?
It does all the tasks that you just said. And when it's done, we blow it away.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that it's just like so simple, streamlined. I love that I can see the steps of what's happening here.
Each individual step. You can drill in there to see.
I love that. It's like here's restoring NuGet. And this is happening on like a different machine. Like it's just, I'm thinking like
it's in the cloud.
That blows my mind, right? Because like if I'm a developer today, like I have to build my iOS app, let it compile, do the thing, package it, go to my other project, the iOS or the Android one, do it again, package it, I have to sign to do the things. I'm just sitting there and I'm waiting.
Right.
And that's based on the power of my machine.
Yeah. Now you can use the power of the cloud. It's done. Let Microsoft worry about that.
Yeah, like I think that there's an infrastructure there that's doing it. I'm going to see how fast it does. And what I love is that, like I don't have to wait around for...
No, and it's building both in parallel, right?
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome. I love that.
It's so cool. And I like here that there's a summary of what's going on, mm-hmm. so I can see any associated commits to it. I get actually a lot of information here.
Oh, yeah.
And if I had tests, it would actually give me test output, but no tests yet. But coming soon.
Yet.
All right, so far it looks like we have one green. I'm very excited.
All right, Andrew, wow. Both of them green. Like I said, what could go wrong?
So from here, what do I have? What's this release and artifacts, I guess?
So that lets you see exactly what your release pipeline is. And if you don't have a release pipeline, it'll take you and you can start creating a release pipeline.
Ah, that's cool. So if I wanted to from here, I could create one.
You just click it and then immediately you start building out your release pipeline for that specific build.
Ah, cool.
So it makes things easy for you.
All right, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, I'm not either.
That's a whole nother video.
I'm still kind of at awe that you just created a build that quickly.
It's pretty good. Now, I do want to point out one thing here. If I go back to the pipeline, is if I wanted to, I could say, no, build this on Visual Studio 2019 on a Windows machine.
Yep, you can.
And if I had an ASP.NET website, I could set up another phase to build my mobile apps and my website at the same time.
Yeah. So a lot of times when I create my mobile builds, they're usually for some pretty big projects, right? Yeah. So then I have a phase that builds my Android, phase that builds my iOS, then I have a phase that builds my front-end web server or web app, and then I have another phase that builds a lot of my back-end code, right? Because a lot of times I have like REST APIs or functions or whatever in the back-end talking to SQL Server or Cosmos or whatever.
Yeah. You want to deploy them all.
I want to build it all and deploy
it. You want to build it all. So the last thing I want to do here is I want to set up a trigger here.
Okay.
Because I want to set up continuous integration.
Yep.
Because actually we haven't really done anything continuous yet.
So when you talk about continuous integration, basically you're saying if I check in code, kick off the build.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. All right. And then it gives me some options. Can you kind of walk through what these options are inside of here?
Sure. So when you first turn it on, you have a trigger, right, to say turn it on or off, whether if somebody checks in code. And next, there's basically some filters that you can work through. One of the filters based on the branches. So if somebody checks in code to a specific branch, then kick off the build.
Got it.
Or you can even filter on not only just the branch, but also which directory structure within your branch. So if somebody checks in code within this specific directory, then kick off this build.
So I could have multiple branches inside of it and include or exclude. So do everything but master, which would be kind of an interesting thing to do if you want to do something special.
Yep.
Now, I love this feature, which is pull request validation.
Yes.
Because I have a build from master, but I want to make sure if someone is now committing code to this repo, they send them a PR, right? It might be a fork. I want to make sure that they know that it built, like they didn't break the build.
Correct.
And I love this.
Yeah, it's just so cool. A checkbox and bam, you're done, right? So anytime somebody does a PR, the first thing it does is it kicks off the build, make sure it compiles. And if it doesn't even compile, why do I even need to review your code, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I like that here you can control the security of it, whether there's secrets available, not secrets available. Do you even allow forks, right? Or do you only want to work from your team?
So that's the nice thing about Azure DevOps is that you really get super fine-grained control over pretty much everything, right? Which makes it a little bit more complex to set up and use as well. But I like having that power of really tightening it down as much as I need to or opening it up as much as I need to.
Totally. So I'm going to come back over to my GitHub repo.
Okay.
And let's go into the branches here.
Okay.
Because what I want to do is I want to add a rule that says that require pull requests, maybe not reviews, but status checks.
Got it. Okay.
And what's cool is I remember we selected the GitHub repo. Like, I can make sure that that is actually run. Like, it knows. It already communicated that, hey, you have some continuous integration set up here, and why don't you just make sure that that thing passes?
Yeah.
And we'll call this master PR. This should be for master. So we're going to set up for master.
Yeah.
And then make sure that I set this up again. Check here, required.
Cool.
And then we'll create it.
So now basically you're saying don't accept a pull request unless it's built and it was successful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's do a pull request.
I love that integration.
It's so good. So I have this Hello DevOps here. And why don't we just add a README? Because why not?
Sure.
So, you know, this needs a README. Yeah, maybe we'll put that in. We'll add the README, and then we'll say this needs a README.
Okay.
Boom. So, you know, this is committing it into here. We're going to commit that file, and then we're going to do a pull request, right? And this is kind of how I work. Like, I never commit to master. I always do it to branches.
Yep.
And then this is what's mind-blowing about this entire process is I did a pull request. It already knows over here that it's expecting a status.
Yeah.
And now it's queued.
Bam, it queues it and it starts running it and we'll even give you a little flag that tells you if it passes or fails.
It's so cool. And in fact, let's see if we go back over here and we go to our builds.
There it is.
There it is.
Nice.
And it has the branch on it too. Like it knows that there's a branch associated with it. If we tap into it even further.
You can see everything that's happening again.
Yeah. And then it's like, it's really cool because like I sit here and I'll just like wait. I'm like, oh, what's happening? What's going on? And then you'll get a green checkbox when everything's good to go.
Yeah.
So now I know if I break the build, it's not going to pass.
Yeah. And you know it'd be as soon as the build's done.
Exactly. And that's like the start, right?
Yes. That's the you have to have this to start.
Yeah.
Right? We need to be able to, if we check in code, it needs to kick off a build, let me know if it passes or fails.
Yeah.
That's the beginning.
And literally in 20 minutes, we set up not only our code, which is in GitHub, a full CI pipeline with continuous integration and checks inside of GitHub, inside of Azure DevOps and GitHub together.
Within 20 minutes.
That's amazing.
And I love that using this build pipeline, you really can customize it and make it do exactly what you want it to do.
Yeah.
Right? You're not constrained in any way.
You're not, yeah. And you even saw inside of the pipeline today, if I go into that build pipeline, right, and I go into edit, I can come back in and I can add any of these tasks, right? I can put in utilities, I can deploy, I can do bash commands, I can do scripts, I can do anything inside of it, which is super powerful. And you can see already, there's a lot of things that I'm gonna be doing in the future here, which is, I'm gonna be publishing tests and stuff in the future.
Yeah, so, I can't wait to see that. I'm really excited to see the distribution part, because that's the part that's kind of tweaking me out right now.
It does, it's funky, and I can't wait to talk about it.
So. Nice.
Abel, thank you so much for joining me and really describing the tools that I use every day in more details than I knew. Because I was like, oh, what does that do? So very cool. Well, I hope that you enjoyed this episode of DevOps for Mobile Developers. We'll have a lot more in store. But if you didn't watch the previous episodes, go to that playlist. Go watch all that other stuff where Abel and I talk about what is DevOps and how to even publish your code into GitHub with just a few clicks.
Yep.
Now, we hope you enjoyed this video. Check out the comments below. Please give us your feedback. We would love it. That's going to do it. Abel, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me again.
Yep. And thanks, everyone, for joining us.